Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Recruiting Animal here on January 29th, 2014. I read articles during the week, and I was reading an article this week by a guy named Art Markman. He's a psychologist, and he wrote an article telling us what kind of people start their own business. And he describes those people in terms of what's called the Big Five personality traits. Maybe you've heard of them before, but in case you haven't, I'm going to tell you what they are. Number one, openness to experience. Openness to experience, that refers to your willingness to consider new ideas. Number two, extroversion. That means your desire to be the center of attention. Number three, conscientiousness. That's your willingness to work hard and follow rules. Number four, agreeableness. That's your desire to be liked by other people. And number five is neuroticism, your level of emotional stability. Now, don't worry. I'm going to mention them a couple of times again in this introduction. So by the end, you'll remember them. Maybe you'll actually learn something and take something away from this show. But anyway, he says, Art Markman says, the ideal entrepreneur is low in agreeableness. He doesn't care much if people like him. And he's low in neuroticism. He doesn't go crazy too often. However, he's high in openness. He's, you know, interested in considering new things, trying new things. He's high in extroversion. He's not afraid of presenting himself to other people. And he's high in conscientiousness. He's willing to work hard. He's willing to work long hours. So I started thinking, you know, I'd like to do a profile of the ideal recruiter using the same five factors. And so here we go, openness to experience. I don't think a recruiter has to be interested in trying new things. We see some recruiters who are early adopters of new technology and some aren't. Some like to brag about being old school, you know. Online sourcers, they might be a bit different. They like to use new tools. It's a different job in some ways, okay? Number two, extroversion. A good recruiter is going to score high on extroversion because you have to be willing to put yourself in the spotlight with other people. Number three, a good recruiter is high in conscientiousness. She's willing to search for a good candidate, then make a lot of calls, you know, to get the right person. Number four, I know it's getting boring, but I just want to finish. You know, just like the entrepreneur, I don't think a good recruiter has to be high in agreeableness. You know, they don't have to have a desire to be liked by other people because it's our job to be critical. And highly agreeable people, they don't like to judge others and then deliver bad news. They're going to, you know, be too afraid to do what's required. Number five, they won't push back to clients either. Number five, I don't think the average recruiter scores high in neuroticism, which is a lack of emotional stability. We all know exceptions. We all know lots of recruiters are crazy, but I don't think it's a requirement of the job. So the entrepreneur and the recruiter would score the same in conscientiousness, agreeableness, extroversion, and neuroticism, but I think they'd be different in open experience. Although, here's a guy we got on today, Steve Nahez, who used to be an engineer, and I think he likes to try new things. Can you tell us, Jerry, what show we're going to interview him on? Jerry, what show is this?
This show?
Yeah.
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Neuroticism. That's an interesting topic for animal.
Neuroticism?
Oh, I thought you were...
Eroticism. Not eroticism. Although, you know, Mike Aitken isn't
everything
here anymore. That was a qualification if you want to work with Mike.
not necessarily.
Yeah. Okay.
my goodness, oh my goodness.
Our good buddy Nahez, Steve Nahez, are you
Wait a minute,
here?
Wait.
What?
It's time for the recruiters who actually make placements, Facebook ad, isn't it?
Jerry, you want to do something? Uh-oh. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to encourage anybody to check us out. It's a closed group of recruiters actually talking about making placements, sending invoices, contracts, fees, negotiations, candidates, etc. Not all the hot air parade info that we're getting from everybody else on the conference circuit. Real people making real placements. Check us out.
Here's an example of what you're going to get there.
You're the one that's fucked up here, not me.
That's
oh, my goodness.
Okay?
All right.
There you go.
Come join us.
Yeah, enough already.
Recruiters
okay.
will actually make placements on
enough
Facebook.
Already. Don't make me mute you at the beginning, okay, please? Okay. Let's introduce the guest. Let's get to the guest.
Yeah, we don't know the guest.
Stephen Nahez, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Nahez Recruiting. Nahez or Nahez. Nobody knows how to say your name. We call you Nahez, right?
Nahez.
I'm going to call you
Nahez.
Okay.
There's your neuroticism right there. Naming your company your own name. Name it the Nahez Show.
His father named
hey,
him the same
market
name
studies.
As himself. His name is Steve Nahez Jr. I mean, why wouldn't he name the company after himself? Father
All right,
named
go ahead.
After
yes.
himself.
Google it. The Chinese only URL. I'm so bummed.
The Chinese.
Nahez.
What is that? 300 million Chinese. That is a bigoted statement, okay? I just want to tell you.
No, it's
that's
not
good for us. The Chinese. Don't say talk like that on this show. Now, look, I want to get to some
goodness.
Serious business here. Okay, our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, went to Jerusalem last week for a big state visit, and wherever he goes, he likes to play the piano and sing. He would be a fantastic guest on the Recruiting Animal Show because he doesn't care if he can sing good. He just likes to... the joy of singing, and that's what I want people to do with me at the beginning of the show. I'm going to play Stephen Harper, George Bush called him Prime Minister Steve. I'm going to play part of his performance, and then we'll see if we'll do it with him, okay, if people have the guts. Here he is. This is the Prime Minister of Canada. I'm not kidding.
And you.
Wish you had somebody like that in the head office in your country. A guy with guts? Okay.
That sounded just like Rob Ford.
That's our Prime Minister. Steve Nahez, are you willing to sing Hey Jude with Stephen Harper and me?
No, I was going to sing Wrecking Ball.
How do you do that?
That's okay.
There's a lot of songs called Wrecking Ball.
And make believe I'm twerking with Jerry. That was my whole shtick, and you blew it. I feel like the first 10 minutes is just like the warm-up band saying, you want to go away.
I think you ruined it for us. I don't know if this is anti-diverse, but I don't like that image of you and Jerry twerking, okay? So just cool it with me, will
virtual twerking, you know?
Yeah, right, okay. That's what
All
you're
right,
going to get on Jerry's
moving.
Group. Hey, everybody, that's what you're going to get on Jerry's group, him twerking with Stephen Nahez. Very nice. Okay, that's why there's no one living in Detroit. Okay, look.
I'm glad there's no one listening to this show.
Yeah, okay, that's good, too, yeah. Now, Steve.
I want to just make it, I just want to make clear, I have made real money having been part of Jerry's group. I've made real money through advice
Ow.
That I've gotten through there. So that's not make-believe.
Give us an example.
Where's my
job? We discovered that we had a client that had presented – or we had presented a candidate to a client. We had started the interviewing process, and to be quite frank with you, that particular individual has fallen off the radar screen.
Hang on.
And the HR person turned around and took that resume, gave it to another recruiting agency, and gave them credit, and they ended up paying that other recruiting agency for the candidate that we had actually originally submitted as well as scheduled the original interview on. and through advice that I got on Jerry's group, I knew how
to sleep,
tactfully go.
You're putting me to sleep, okay?
I was in the last sentence, dude.
Actual conversations about putting somebody to work and sending an invoice and making a placement, it's so foreign to Animal that he snoozes on it. Seriously.
You know what? Oh, yeah, you know what? You're just complimenting him, so that's the thing. Okay, look, here, I read something on Jerry's group today. You, Stephen Nahas, told Rebecca Sargent to get her recruiter, put 150 resumes in front of him, and tell him to call them to test and see if he follows orders. Do you think that's a smart thing to do?
Of course I did. I posted it. She mentioned she was having issues, and she was wondering if the recruiter that she was training had some successes. There were some indicators there, and she was trying to figure out if she should be, you know, putting this person on probation, continuing efforts with them. And my suggestion was, hey, look, we got to find out if this person's coachable. So stick 150 resumes in front of them, tell them to smile and dial.
Wouldn't it be easier to tell him to go get you a cup of coffee?
Okay, Stephen Nahas, we're going to move on to the things we actually care about.
Or go get some venison.
Show's going downhill, okay? Show's going downhill
already. I'm
going to
put myself on mute for 10 minutes.
Thank God. Okay.
So we'll see if you can pull this thing out of the ditch. Go.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Diversity in recruiting techniques. Stephen Nahas, you told me that the same recruiting techniques will not work in every industry. Do you have any proof to back up that statement?
I do.
You know, somebody's listening to the show on their speakers while they've called into the show. Only a dummy does it. I've done it myself. I mean, so I'm not saying I'm self-righteous, but make sure your speakers are not on when you're calling into the show. Turn your speakers off, okay? Go ahead. Answer the question, please.
People dedicated to their recruiting profession will know metrics, the proper metrics to follow that give them indicators to whether they're being successful or not. And based on you have to pick and choose the metrics that work best in your industry. I actually worked a different industry for a couple of years in between.
What was that? Tell us
what
it was.
The environmental consulting industry in the United States.
You didn't like working. You know what? You know, Steve, you got to talk like you talk to me on the phone. Don't hem and haw. Just don't get nervous. Just answer the question directly. You didn't like working in the environmental consulting industry as a recruiter, but you like working in the automotive industry. Why didn't you like it there, working in the environmental consulting industry? Okay, just tell me straight. Why didn't you like it? What was wrong with it?
I discovered that that industry was not, quote-unquote, friendly to recruiters and outside agency help for sourcing candidates.
What does that mean?
That meant that I had to do a lot of cold calling and had to go in the pitch of trying to work with that company to try to identify them some new people. Within that whole initial pitch, a big portion of the pitch was dedicated to trying to explain to the hiring managers, the presidents, the CEOs of these companies, the executives, how recruiting actually worked, and contingency recruiting in particular, that, you know, I find you people, you hire somebody, and then you pay us. And for some reason, that in that industry, it wasn't a very common, it just wasn't a very common service that was utilized.
Okay, and you told me for a full year I was cold calling owners and presidents of companies, and that's going to toughen you up pretty quick, you said, because you get people slamming the phone down on you. Is that literally true, or was that just sort of figurative? Was that for effect? Is that literally true?
No, all of the above. They do. They'll hang up on you. They think you are soliciting, but they think you're some type of telemarketing solicitor. Yeah, you get the hang-ups. You get people yelling at you. You get them demanding to know how much on the front end before you even can explain to them what you're trying to propose to them. And when you tell them how much, you know, oftentimes they're screaming, yelling, laughing at you, you know, all of the above. And yeah, I think it was something good for, you know, for me having recruited for 6-7 years to experience something new, you know, like your entrepreneur, explanation on the front end of this. And it was refreshing.
Your advice would be to people, if you find yourself in a business like that, get out, right? Don't waste time in a sector that's like that, right?
That is not my advice. The moral of that story was that I was comfortable working in the previous industry because I understood the metrics, the various metrics that indicated whether, you know, how successful I was being, number of send-outs, ratios, looking at things like that. I had to throw a lot of those metrics out and change them. And I had to change the metrics based on changing industries. Okay, number of phone calls, number of candidates that you're submitting, you know, how long you're on the phone with these candidates, doing.
Yeah, I understand that. But the bottom line here is, why waste time in a business that doesn't want to use recruiters, that getting every client is an uphill battle? You went back
to
the automotive.
I'm not agreeing with you, Animal. There's going to be a recruiter in any industry you can possibly think of. I don't know a recruiter out there that didn't go through a slump at some point and look around and look at other industries where they see people are being, you know, they get a little envious. They're seeing that people are being more successful in another industry, so they're starting to think to themselves, maybe I want to switch industries. And I think it's important that if you are going to consider switching industries, that you understand the metrics that you need to study.
Yeah, but there's another issue. Wait a second. There's another issue. You told me you switched industries. You went back to automotive after a year of struggle, and you found it's completely different. They're ready to use you. They know the game. They want to use recruiters. Why would anyone stay in a business where they don't want your service? They don't want they don't need you, and they don't think they need you. You got to make a switch. Does anybody who's on the line think that I'm wrong? That's not the lesson from what Stephen Nay has just told us about his own personal experience. Anybody disagree with him and agree with me? Here's your chance to talk. Don't be shy. There's a lot of people on the line. Come forward now. You don't have to wait an hour to tell Jerry what you thought. You can tell Steve right here if you got guts.
I'm on self-imposed mute for 3 more minutes, and I'm not taking the bait here. 3 more minutes.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. So nobody wants to say anything. So, you know, my point is that
look, I heard your point. Don't beat it to the ground. You don't talk like this either. Just talk like you're not on a stutter, okay? Because you don't stutter. Don't stutter on the show. You don't stutter in real life. Okay.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you told us, like, I'm fascinated by the way you work. We won't go into the whole thing, but you have a 4-minute script that you use to screen people. You find people in your database for the job. You send them an email. If they reply that they're curious about the position, only then do you phone them. And then you only spend 4 or 5 minutes with them before you send their resume out to the company. Am I right about that? Yes or no?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay. And so I want to know how you qualify someone in 4 minutes. Go ahead. Tell me.
First, we identify the job order or vacancy that we're going to work on. The next thing that we do is we'll utilize whatever.
I gave you all the preliminaries. Oh, we did. We'll get into that. I'm asking
we
you.
We fill our database with the people that the candidates that we believe come close to the position that we're trying to fill.
You pulled out a resume that looks good. You pulled out a resume that looked good. Now, theoretically.
Yes.
I guess you could just send in the resume without talking to the guy. What is it you get from the 4 minutes that clinches a deal? How do you do it?
We,
just tell me that four. Don't make me beg. Oh, you know me already. You've been on the show. don't make me beg. Tell me what you talk up to the guy in about 4 minutes. It's going to take me longer than 4 minutes just to get you to tell me, okay?
First 15 seconds, we identify who we are and why we're calling.
Yeah.
Is that a good start?
Yeah.
Okay. We make sure that it's a comfortable time for the individual to talk, so their, you know, their boss isn't sitting there, or they're, you know, middle of lunch or something. Well, once we identify those things within the first half minute or so, we make an introduction, a soft introduction that we already have their information, which we do. We confirm that the latest position is accurate on the resume that we're looking at. And of course, if it's not, we have to obtain a new resume, but that doesn't stop us at that point. And what we do is we explain to them that we work in the automotive industry, blah blah blah, but that's really in the initial discussion. And we tell them that we're working with a company and we're on a confidential search, and they have some interesting projects that they're working on. And through some research, we came across their resume, and we wanted to see what their status is and what they may be thinking about for their next step of their career.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to actually do it rather than just walk through?
Okay,
can you,
my 10 minutes is over. Man, this is riveting.
Yeah, it is. I know.
Keep it out.
I would have never
thought to call somebody, tell them I'm a recruiter, see if they have a second. Confirm
yeah.
that they still work where they did last time we talked, and let them know that I'm working with a company that's got some pretty cool stuff going on.
Yeah, right.
I now have your playbook, Nahez.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'll bet Nahez is the only guy on the line who does a four-minute interview instead of a half an hour or an hour interview. Okay?
We never talk to candidates that long.
He's doing a four-minute recruit call.
That's all he does.
It's a four-minute recruit call, but we get there. We do get the candidate to. We always tell the candidate who the company is, and we give them the best verbal description that we can on the role, and we ask them if they. We simply ask them if they're interested in maybe pursuing this, and if they give us a yes, that's an affirmative. And we say, okay, we're going to present your background to the company. We'll let you know if there's any interest to move on to the next step.
Seriously?
So
you just confirm that they're alive and that they're interested and you blast them on over there. You don't talk to – okay, I'm sorry.
No, Jerry, keep going because I want to know that you're just sending resumes to your clients so that they can screen through them. Like, I don't understand how you're qualifying
Sergeant,
a candidate okay.
for
4 minutes.
Okay, the great Rebecca Sargent. Go ahead. What's the question, Rebecca? Because it's not very clear. It wasn't well structured.
You're spending 4 minutes with somebody before you send the resume to the client?
Yeah.
That's
I don't think
yeah,
we let them
minutes.
Finish, though. Certainly there's a great, let's set up a time to talk after hours so I can really get to know you.
No,
there is not.
No.
Never.
What?
No. No, Jerry, you're making an assumption.
Oh!
Jerry, you and I are working way too hard.
Yeah, but Nahez is a numbers game for him.
Low fee,
high volume, right?
Hey, Travis,
that's
you
exactly
on a speakerphone.
Correct, so,
oh, okay. You know what? Let me just say something. I just wanted to address something to our new friend, Nicholas Garcia, on Twitter. Hey, I didn't comment on his phone because I can hear him. You know, people don't get it on this show. I don't complain unless there's a reason to complain, okay? The guy called on his phone.
Everybody's a technology expert, aren't they, Animal? Everybody's a broadcast expert.
No, they just don't understand me. They don't understand
Gosh.
Me, okay? And I have
right.
to explain
My equipment's
sometime.
Working just fine. So
back to
Nahez what we do is we
4 minute wrap up.
Back to
Kathy Mattis wants to know who's on. It's Stephen Nahez. He's an automotive recruiter in Detroit. Okay, Kathy. Now you
Holy
know
mackerel.
The topic.
Wait a minute.
Topic?
He's an automotive candidate sourcer.
I know. Well,
okay. Let's be clear.
Did you read my latest tweet, Animal? I just tweeted something.
Oh, jeez.
No,
you guys are still using
you
Twitter?
Tell us. You know, I beg people to talk on the show. What does he want to say, Kathy? Go ahead. Kathy Mattis, go
said
ahead.
I've resorted to plucking my eyebrows right now during your show.
Oh, goodness.
Well, you know what? I find it interesting. I'm sorry, dear. I find it interesting.
It makes me
He's the only guy He's making money, and he doesn't waste an hour talking to a candidate before
Sends
him out.
Why would you want to waste time talking to a guy about how he decides about a career move, why he's changed jobs in the past, what's going on now that's made him decide it's time to make a change? Why talk about salary?
Does he really have the qualifications? It takes more than 4 minutes to
However,
get an eyebrow.
Guys,
go,
we didn't let him finish his 4 minutes start to finish thing. So go, Nahez.
No,
we're at like minute two.
Those questions. I want
minute
you to,
two.
Steve. I want you
yeah,
to
holy mackerel,
questions.
Folks, slow down. Okay, as I said before, you've got to understand the metrics of your industry. Let me give you an example. There's only five different brake companies that make the brakes or make and design the brake systems that go on your vehicles, your Ford, GM, Chryslers, Nissans, and Toyotas.
Yeah.
There's only five companies in Detroit. There's only five companies to snag candidates from if you're working with one of those brake companies. That means there's only four companies to source from. Now, when you do your a lot of the work's up front, so you're making sure that if you have a brake engineer position, that you're calling people that actually have done brake engineering. So we're not going to call. We're not going to waste our time if the resume's not clear and it doesn't show that they have not done any brake engineering. Then we're certainly not going to call them. But if it's a brake engineer that's working at Company X, and we call him up, it's a soft phone call, and we say, "Hey, Bob, we've got a new opportunity across the street at one of the other competitors. What's going on right now? You just updated your resume. We saw that. Tell us what's going on that might have you taking a look around." And Bob says, "Oh, geez, you know, I had this great thing going with my boss, and they promoted my boss, and then they opened up that spot, and I thought I was going to get it. I thought I was going to become the supervisor. And then they stuck Al, who's been there for 20 years, picking his nose in that spot. And that really made me mad. So now I want to find a new job." "Oh, okay, great. Well, Bob, I'm going to set, you know, who I'm working with. I'm working with ABC Company, and this is the position. Here's the department they're looking to fill the position in. And where are you at compensation-wise?" He tells me. And then bingo, bango, off I go. I send the resume over. And, yep, I just sourced the candidate in 3 or 4 minutes. It wasn't
Disco,
rocket science.
Daryl Disco wanted to know the questions you go through. I think he answered them right now, so we don't have to role play. But you tell me, Disco, I'm watching you on Twitter. Tell me if you didn't get what you need. Does anybody else want to comment on what he just said?
I just find it rather condensed.
What's he missing, Jerry? What's he missing? He found out why the guy might be interested. He knows the guy's a brake engineer. Obviously, here's where the condensation is. If the guy's a brake engineer, he knows he's a brake engineer. He doesn't have to probe deeply to find out if he's got the skills. Is that right, Steve Nahez? You don't really have to say, "Well, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? Do you have that?" Or maybe you have a little quick checklist to go through, and you don't have to ask a bunch of questions.
Buzzword skill set stuff, that's only a part of what we're doing. What do you do, Nahez, when your customer says, "Hey, thanks for Larry's resume. What do you think about him?"
Okay.
Or do they never say that? Do they never want your professional assessment?
Never, ever. And that's why we started this deal by explaining that I'm in an industry that's very recruiter friendly. I'm not trying to defend. I'm just stating the matter.
Yeah,
fact.
Dude.
We never have conversations with our clients going, "So why is it that you like Susie? What about Susie attracts, you know, thinks that?" And the other thing is, in our office, we don't make assumptions one way or the other. In other words, I want to explain that. We don't ever call a client and say, "Hey, I've got this candidate that I think would be fabulous working at your company." We never, ever say that. And on the converse, we never, ever say to the candidate, "Hey, I've got this company that we think you're really going to love." We don't make those two assumptions.
How do you sell the job then? You have to sell it to the company.
He's not.
No, we do. We do not. We don't. In fact, I love that you use the word sell. We don't do any quote unquote selling. As a matter of fact, we flip it. And what we say to the candidate is, hey, look, and I'm sorry, guys, if this is going to come across as cheapening, you know, headhunting or cheapening recruiter, you know, being a recruiter.
Profession,
Nate
has.
But guess
going.
What? Here we go. But what we tell the candidate is we say, hey, look, my responsibility, you know, here is, number one, as a candidate, I'm trying to steer you into something that's going to be better than what you have right now. Okay.
Even though I wouldn't know anything about that.
And on the flip side,
right?
And on the flip side, you're the candidate. You are able to bail out of this process at any time if you don't feel comfortable. You know who the company is. You'll be able to research the company. You'll be able to go on that first interview, sit there, look at them. I'm not going to be sitting there. And then all I simply is looking for is for you to be honest with me and let me know that you're interested or not interested. And that's our role is as sourcer, period.
Nahez, can I ask some questions? And you and I are friends offline, okay? So I'm only asking this because your audience, your listeners, want to know.
Okay, before
do you mind if
yeah,
I
no,
ask some
No, no, I just want to do some Twitter, put these on the bookmark. Daryl Disco says, how do you know that your candidate is not BSing you, that he really has what his resume says?
Let me answer. He doesn't care.
That's not true.
He doesn't care.
That's not true. That's not true, Jerry.
True.
Give me 2 seconds here because – In your line of work, working in IT, there's something that's very, very different than working in the automotive industry. The first thing, day number one, is when I train a new recruiter in the automotive industry, they need to understand is that every single automotive supplier is structured organizationally the exact same way. The exact same way. So a design engineer is not the same as a validation engineer, is not the same as a program manager, but those people do exist in those roles at each company. It's kind of like a hospital, okay? The hospitals were probably structured the exact same way. This person does this, that person does that. And as long as you understand where they sit in that structure, and if those bullet points
that
are underneath their title,
you are treating every
sense.
Candidate, Nahez, as a widget. And
correct.
If this was simply buying and selling chickens, you'd have it down to a science. Our customers expect us to do a lot more than just source a resume. But back to my original statement a second ago. Hold
your
on.
Customers expect
how
you
many?
To do more than that. Your customers expect that in your industry. My
Steve
customers
Nahez,
do not
Steve
expect
Nahez,
that.
Steve Nahez, let me just say something. I if I'm taking a job order, I have to ask the hiring manager, the person who's giving it to me, what other names would we find these people under? You know, it isn't just a one-for-one like you're saying. So, you know, so
that shows your complete ignorance of the marketplace.
Yeah, because the people doing the similar jobs have different titles in different companies. Some of them have those, you know, elaborate, ridiculous titles that, you know, you'd never identify in a keyword search. But you're saying that in your industry – just like Jerry said, these are replaceable widgets. They're the exact same in every company.
What percent of your offers are extended,
Nahez? Hold on a second, Jerry.
No,
hold
I'm
on.
Sick
I
of
just
that.
Want people to know that I've opened up all the lines. A bunch of new people called in. Does anybody want to say something who hasn't had a chance to talk?
Yeah,
does anybody want to say something? Yeah, you'll get
do.
Plenty of
Nahez,
chance.
What
you'll
percent of
your
offers are accepted? You get 10 offers. How many placements are you making?
We're above 75%.
Okay. You make 10 placements. How many of them actually start and show up?
I don't hear it. Hey, you guys out there, he's not heavy breathing.
100%.
I complain if I don't like the way things sound. He's not heavy breathing, okay? He's not even stuttering anymore, okay? And Jerry,
100%.
Go ahead.
100%. We have, so far so good, in 5 years, we have not had one person that didn't show up on the day they were supposed to show up.
So not only are you incredibly more efficient, your start percentage is higher than every other recruiters that I know.
Gary, you can't stand it that he's smarter than you. That's the problem, okay?
It's starting to chew at me a little bit, yes.
Yeah.
Guys,
okay.
You got it.
Hold on
a second.
I'm wasting a lot of my time.
I could be on Facebook all day.
You guys want a story? Does anybody want to hear a story here? Anybody?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anybody
tell a story?
Okay.
Tell a story.
Oh, Jerry's mumbling. He doesn't want to hear the story.
No,
okay, fine.
I want to hear it. I'm in charge. Hey, look,
I
want to
hear it.
I'm in charge here, okay? I've got the controls. I can mute anybody at any time. I want to hear the story, okay?
One story coming up. Go,
I'm
going to
frame it in 30 seconds. I made this friend. She was trying to get into recruiting. It was very first time she was recruiting. She wanted to work in the health and beauty area. For anything that would be sold basically at Sally's. And she wanted to get to the manufacturers and figure out how she could work with these beauty companies located all over the country. And so she came in the office, we went through the training, and by the third day of training we figured out that every single one of these companies utilized chemists in laboratories, whether they're making hair brushes, curling irons. At some point, they had chemists that worked in their laboratories. And what we did, the very next day, she spent the whole entire day calling and talking to chemists. And by Friday, she was marketing and getting job orders for chemists in the beauty industry. We understood that there was a common position that had a huge need out there, and we figured that out and calculated that within 5 days. That's the end of the story. It was a success story. You figure out your industry, you figure out the commonalities, and you'll be incredibly successful.
Well, I have a question then to follow up, because all I do is source and present resumes, but I have to do a lot more than 4 minutes per candidate. And I forget my question.
Well, you can come back, okay? I want to hear his voicemail script, because he leaves voicemails too. Can you run the voicemail script by us? Pretend you're calling somebody on a specific job.
Can I role play? I'll be the voicemail answering machine.
Hi, this is Jerry.
Please leave me a message.
Go ahead.
No, I please listen to this music while we find the person you're looking for, and then it plays some crazy song. Hey, Bob, this is Steve Nahez calling from Nahez Recruiting. We specialize in the automotive industry. I'm working with a company right now. We have a confidential search being conducted, and I was doing some research over the weekend. I came across your resume in our database. I wanted to first find out if we have your latest information, and second, if you might be open to discussing your next career move. Give me a call at blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
End of voicemail.
That's it.
Okay, man.
Here's some music for the waiting music, on hold music. If anybody wants it, they can come
to
me for it.
And you.
Yeah. Prime Minister of Canada, there you go. Can't do better than that.
Okay,
not
I'm
like
throwing
that.
This
only
out there.
Animal.
I want to understand something.
Rebecca's
I want to understand something.
Rebecca's
got a question.
Oh, perfect.
Are you charging what the industry standard for recruiters is? Like, what is your fee to your clients, if you don't mind me asking?
Typically 20 to 28.
Oh my God.
Percent of the base salary.
Rebecca, maybe everything that we're doing is a waste of time.
God, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Over the years, I'll admit, I've abandoned a few parts of what I always thought I had to do. Nahez isn't doing any of it. And he's knocking it out of the park.
Amen to that.
The
only thing the recruiters do in my office, there's two things they do. Two things, okay? One, they call companies. Two,
and ask if
they
want to buy a chicken.
They call companies. Two, they call candidates. There's nothing else that they do.
Wait a second. Your guys make 100 calls every day. Last week I had a big fight with people because they said that's not the way to recruit. Good recruiters don't make 100 calls a day.
100 connecting calls or leaving voicemails? I mean, there's a big
Kathy,
difference.
We can't hear you, hon. Could you speak into the phone, girl?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
First of all, I remembered my question. how do you convince these guys to leave their current job if you only spend 4 minutes with them? And
he doesn't convince them.
He's dealing with the active marketplace.
No, he isn't.
He's finding people that want a new job.
He's calling passive candidates, but he doesn't try to sell them.
No,
and
he's not calling
that,
passive candidates. He's calling the guy that just updated his LinkedIn profile yesterday.
We're almost exclusively calling passive candidates, not active candidates, folks.
Steven, that's
the other trick.
Steven,
yeah.
That's what I do, too. But my point is, how do you convince them to give you their resume in 4 minutes?
He already has it, Kathy.
Yeah, he already
he found their passive resume on CareerBuilder.
Well, I'm a passive, so an old resume. Is that how you find these people?
Or new.
Precisely, because again, if they're a good engineer, or a good program manager, and they've been doing that for a long, long time, if they've been.
What? What was that?
Okay, here's something else.
I have no idea what that was.
Wait a second. He's got a specific demeanor. There's a few things. Tom Bolt says he likes the way you don't sell the job. Just so you know, Tom Bolt, he's an authority figure on Twitter, and he agrees with Steve Nahez about that. He says, did I miss the rest of the opening story about the metrics? Because I only heard what didn't work. The metrics don't work. Or just old metrics. Tom, what he's saying is that there's different things that apply to different industries. Can you give him a concrete example about that, Steve?
Can I just add, though, because I wanted to say this earlier, metrics are only a measurement. So it's not about metrics working or not working. Metrics are simply a snapshot of what's taking place. So let's get that straight.
You told
people.
Me yourself, you figured out that you get – you know, one placement versus through every, you know, X amount
right,
of
right,
job
right,
orders.
Right, right, right. That's simply my,
so,
that's how I measure it. It's not
yeah,
about
no, yeah.
that
well, the
working.
Work, and you believe that they work. They're guiding
Hold
you
on a
to a placement.
If it took me 100 send-outs to make one placement, my metrics would be 100-1. Now,
yeah.
you're saying that metrics works?
Yeah.
Smart
because
people will understand.
Hey!
Smart people will understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway,
let's take a look at this.
Just hold on. Give Tom an example. I'm in charge. Okay. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Just give him an example of one thing that you measured in the environmental consulting world that you don't have to measure, or that you measure differently, or some other thing that you use in the automotive world. Just give one example. That where it's different.
In automotive, we only need to make about if we're marketing, we only need to make about 5 connect calls with a manager per day that we are actually marketing. When we were in environmental, we had to have 15 connects, so it's different. So you might be calling 100 companies, and you'd have to have at least 15 connects to be successful. In automotive, we only need about 5. To be successful and to keep our sort of quiver of job orders fresh and new and in high volume, to be honest with you.
Okay, now these you said your guys are calling candidates and calling clients. What do they say to the clients? That's a new business development call. Am I right about that? Are they marketing candidates, or are they just calling up and saying, we want to work with you? What are they doing?
We always market a candidate. We market candidates, you know, through the MRI, you know, formula, identifying an individual that meets certain criteria that we believe that would you know have something to offer to the hiring manager. However,
do you check with them before. Do you check with them to see if he's in the market?
Oh, sometimes not, because we don't disclose who we're marketing. And what we do is we utilize the marketing call, and this is a big part of the training. This is the hardest part of training to work in a an office style like ours. The person that you're marketing is the worm that's on the hook, okay? And when if the hiring manager is taking the bait, and they take the worm, at that immediate point, you're flipping the call to find out if they truly have a job opening or not.
You're taking the emphasis off of the candidate in about 5 seconds, and you're putting the emphasis on their hiring need. So,
okay, I want to hear it.
Call,
I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Jerry, do you want to role play? Somebody want to role play? Jerry, go ahead.
I'm just an answering machine.
No, you're not an answering machine. You're the
HR
manager.
I can't role play, man. I can't.
Okay,
watching,
do it with me, Steve.
I'm watching a replay of the Beyonce
Travis,
and Jay-Z
Travis,
at
Travis,
the Grammys.
Oh, my God, that was
Travis,
horrible.
Travis, do you want to role play? Travis? Do you want to role play?
Travis.
You're on the line? No, he's gone. Okay,
he's
role
working.
Play with me. Role play with me or Kathy or Rebecca. Rebecca, you want to do it? She's gone. Okay.
We've
do
lost
it with
our
me.
Audience.
Call me up. Mark it to me. Go ahead, Steve. Stephen Nahez.
Hey, Mike, this is Steve Nahez. I'm with Nahez Recruiting down in Allen Park, and we work and operate and specialize in the auto industry. I'm calling you today. I have a University of Michigan graduate from 2008. He's working at a direct competitor of yours and has been working there since he graduated. There's some circumstances at the company that are going on that has this individual actively working with us to identify some new opportunities. And I'm just giving you a call to see if you might want to take a look at this individual's resume.
Okay. What, do you want to send it out to me? Go ahead.
That's perfect. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the candidate, I'm going to get their
Jerry,
you're killing me. Basically, at that point in the call, I'm flipping it on them, and I'm saying, okay, that's fine. Our objective here is to make sure that the candidate gives us permission to send the resume out. I should be able to get that by tomorrow. But in the meantime, I want to talk about this job opening that you have. Do you have an opening as a design engineer? And then you flip the call on them. I know it's easier said than done. I understand, but
no,
that's
no, no,
the
Steve,
that is
Steve.
No,
back
it's
off.
Yep.
No,
Steve,
back
you're doing
off.
A good job. That's
no,
what everybody.
Wait a sec. So I'm going to say, yeah, I have an opening. What do you say next? What's your next question? How long has it been open?
Excellent.
How many
Excellent.
Other recruiters
let's,
are working
let's
on it?
Let's talk about
you know?
That. Exactly. And it's all the recruiter 101. Excellent. So you've got this opening. How long have you been trying to fill it? Because I know we've got a real problem filling engineering positions right now. I bet your department's understaffed, isn't it? Yes, no? Okay, excellent. And so has it been hard to get requisitions through the system to get approval to hire, you know, person
okay,
number
look,
11 in
Steve,
your department?
Steve,
you know, you
Steve,
engage them.
Steve,
yes.
Steve, can you, if you hold
yeah.
your breath for a second, I'll be able to tell you something about my company, okay? First of all, Chad Balby,
I
don't
know. I forgot
understand.
We were role-playing, sorry.
Yeah, okay. If Chad Balby's on the line, I want him to ask his question live in a minute.
He's the best. I'm liking Chad.
Okay.
Here's
the thing. Yeah, you know what? I've seen three or four people already for that job. I've got three agencies working on it. That's okay with you. You don't mind if there's already three other recruiters working on the job, right?
Mike, it's all about the results. Okay, if your position is open, if your cubicle is sitting there open, and you've got things that need to be done, then it's not going to be any harm to take a look at what we might be able to provide you, because here's the commitment. I'm not sending you any resumes unless I find people that meet what you're looking for, okay? If I don't send you resumes,
then great. In 4 minutes
or less.
I mean, you throw that in, don't you?
I never said I have 4-minute phone calls with our client.
You know what?
No.
Don't let him derail you. Stephen Nahez, I'm in charge. Don't
yeah.
let him talk to me, will you? Don't make me beg.
Hey, hold on a second.
Hey, honey, will you bring me a turkey sandwich? All right.
Or a venison burger, some pheasant.
Hey, come on, I got listeners.
This is what you pay me for, to liven this up, man.
Don't ruin the show. You know what? I think this is a good show. I think he's got a lot to teach us. It's obvious he does things differently than other people.
Yeah.
This is a guy, Stephen Nahez, actually is a recruiter who is open to new experience. He's a creative, inventive person. Okay? Now, you got old school Jerry there saying, no, no, no. But that's not who you should be listening to, because we know what he does.
You're reading me all wrong, Animal. I'm finally realizing that I don't have to do most of the crap that I do for my customers.
Yeah, the guy can't say a word without you ridiculing him.
I don't have to talk about counter offers.
You know what?
I don't have to find out why they changed their last several jobs. I don't have to talk to them about their career path. None of it.
Nope.
That's all smoke and mirrors, dude. I need to ask the dude if he wants a new job, what's his salary, and say, okay, let me know when you get the job because they owe me a fee, and I'll send it to him, I guess. I think
that's
it's great.
Right.
Exactly.
I am now unencumbered by my profession.
Yeah, but let's go back to the point.
You know what's even better, Jerry, is that we have some companies that we're working with right now. I think there's three of them that actually take over the entire interviewing process. So they schedule the interviews. They work with the candidate on getting the background check done and everything. And the candidate's just touching base with us, letting us know how things are going in happy land.
I met with a customer two weeks ago. I met with a company 2 weeks ago and started to recruit for them, sent a couple resumes. Within 2 days, they'd already called the two guys, scheduling their own stuff. They're not using me really much anymore at all, and I don't like it.
Rebecca, go to the light. Don't be polite. Rebecca, do you still have something to say?
I think he's just taking all the BS out of what we do every day, and it's just narrowed it right down to, you know.
Do you want a new job?
Yeah,
what's your salary?
And the client
Jerry, can you just give Rebecca a chance to speak, okay? You don't have to talk every single minute, okay? Rebecca, anything else you'd like to say about that?
No, I think I love the fact that he's marketing candidates. I think that's where every recruiter should be.
But here's something funny, Rebecca. He didn't answer my question, but, you know, he told me on the phone the other day, we had a chat yesterday or Monday, and he said he doesn't care if there's already three recruiters working on that job. Why's that, Steve? Lots of people
I know my competition. The way our office is structured, I won't go into a deep dive on this, but basically we all recruit. There's six of us. We all recruit in the automotive industry. We're calling candidates just on a mass basis, having that same three-minute conversation with all of them to surface the candidates that are saying, yes, I am interested in maybe taking a look at something new. Now, it is a career decision. So we're not talking about them picking something off a menu, eating it, and then being done with it, okay? We do respect the fact that it's a career decision. But when you've got six sets of eyeballs that are surfacing candidates centrally in the office that everybody can take a look at, what happens is you're able to parse those candidates out to the companies that meet the candidates' requirements and also meet the company's requirements.
Sorry, you lost me.
My competition, okay, I know what my competition is out there. My competition is essentially a solo recruiter that works at company whatever, okay? If an HR manager tells me that he or she's working with three other recruiting agencies, she's not working with three other recruiting agencies. She's working with three other recruiters, okay? Because at those agencies, they don't share the work. They don't help each other out. That's the basic fundamental structure of recruiting, you know, third-party contingent boutique recruiting agencies for the past 30, 40 years. And those individual solo recruiters that are working at those offices don't yell across the room and say, hey, you were looking for a program manager, weren't you? Well, here, I just screened a candidate. But we do that. All six of the recruiters in our office surface everybody that gives us a yes.
Okay, we got the message. I got the message.
Six people generate 3,000 phone calls. So the six of us generate 3,000 phone calls.
You know what? Jerry
Monday
says it's
through
not
Friday,
to make a lot
9
of phone
to 4.
Calls. Jerry says it's not important to make a lot of phone calls these days.
Hold on a second. I said the days of 100 phone calls day after day are dead. And
no,
I'm gonna
for
make,
your
I'm
industry,
gonna,
maybe.
I'm going to go up to Nahez's office, and I'm going to film these guys doing this. And I'm going to put it on the top recruiting group on Facebook. Recruiters who actually make a placement. It's a closed group, so please send a request to join. I'll review you and let you in.
And then I'm going to post some videos of Nahez's people
Nahez
in the back poking him with a stick.
You know what?
Call somebody. Call somebody.
He's a fantastic guest, and there's so many things that there's so many things to talk about here, and I'm just not getting to them. For instance, when you have a new client, you check them out. You just don't work with them automatically. Is that right, Steve? Or maybe we should
leave market that first. We market first. We get the job order, and then what we do is we call people that actually work there, and we ask them what's going on. We treat them like a potential candidate.
Aren't there only
that's
five
what we
companies
do.
In
that's
your
what
market
we do
system?
To double check if the supplier that we're targeting, and we've already gotten a job order. Maybe it's soft. Maybe we've sent the. It would be basically a soft job order, and then we check out the company by calling people that actually work there.
Okay, and if you hear that it's a soft job order, what does that mean, and what do you do about it?
The manager, the hiring manager, it's never we never work directly through HR at first. We always work with the hiring manager. So it would be the department manager, the engineering manager, the lab manager, whoever. Okay, the director of engineering. They tell us, yes, I do have a vacancy. And by the way, just as a sidebar note, I do like the European sort of word vacancy that they use versus
You gave me that
job order,
it's meaningless. It's meaningless. Just focus on the question I asked you. We're almost the show just got. It's almost out of time. Okay, so you check. You
I just
call
said it.
People,
we
call
people
them,
at
what
the,
does it mean
the
when
company.
It's a soft job order? What does it mean that it's a soft job order? And what do you do?
They
about
told us
it? Let
they
me
have
ask
a vacancy. They have an approved requisition to hire somebody. That's
so,
it.
So the other brake engineers are going to know. The other brake engineers are going to know that, right?
In the department, not necessarily. No.
You're losing money.
That's kind of a weird question. The manager knows the manager. If the manager's department of people's 10 people and they have enough work for 12 people.
Yeah, hold on. You know what?
People,
here's where we're going to close the show. I want to hear one of your client checkout calls. Let's do that. Who am I going to be in this call? Tell me who you're calling.
I have no idea what's a client checkout call.
You said when you get a job order, you call in to other people in the company.
Yeah,
to find
this is
out
part of your routine. You ought to know what a client checkout call is, since it's what you do.
Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying. No, it's basically the 4 minute. It's basically the 4 minute phone call that we make to the candidate. We just treat the candidate that we're calling that's working at the company as a potential candidate that we're going to work with. And we may very well work with that person. So we call them up.
In this case, you don't tell them the name of the company. Is that right?
No, we say, hey, you got your resume all tuned up here. What's got you looking around? What's got you motivated to look for something new? And then what they do is they'll forfeit the problems, like Glass, whatever that website is. They'll tell them what the problems they're having at the company. Sometimes it's a career move, but if it's a problem internally with the company, that's a red flag to us, and we don't want to work with that company.
And so you take the job order, but you don't work it. Is that what you're saying now?
Yeah, at that point we would just disappear into the woodwork because Jerry, the only thing we have invested at that point is a 10-15 minute call maybe with Iron.
You talk to me, not Jerry. I'm talking to you, right? I know you're afraid of Jerry.
I hear him groan.
Don't be drawn to my magnetism.
You're afraid of Jerry, so he's derailing you. I thought you might have more focus. I thought you were a focused guy, but you're always looking over your shoulder. Is Jerry going to criticize me? Is Jerry going to misunderstand me? That's not what you should be doing on this show. If Jerry asks you a question,
I'm sorry
you can answer
for ruining
it. But
the
if you're
show,
talking
guys.
To me, if you're talking to me, talk to me, not to Jerry. You don't have to worry
once,
about
I'm sorry,
him.
Once
again,
your show animal.
Once again.
Okay, is there any parting
Where's
words you'd like? We
sandwich?
Have to have you back on another time. I don't understand Chad Balby. Come on, is Chad Balby on the line? Is Chad on the line? Because I don't understand his question. Okay, what was your question about LinkedIn?
Well, if you give the information of him being a 2008 graduate from that college and working for a competitor, doesn't it just take a quick LinkedIn search to completely bypass the recruiter with that information?
No, never. Never happens. Never
he
happens.
He can't live in fear of being ripped off.
No, that never happens. But I know we're down to the last couple of minutes. Let me make this proposition. any of you anywhere out there, any of you are welcome to come and sit in our office for a day
or two days. I'm serious.
And you are. I am too. I just had a guy start, and I was showing him the email blast presentation that I gave it last month. And he said, what did you charge people? And I said, I didn't charge people. I'm very open. If anybody wants to come in here and listen, no problem. Not a problem at all.
Hey, should
we
I bring my own stick to poke these people with, or could I use yours?
Hook that fifth wheel up to that pickup, man. Just get on down here.
Steve Dayhead,
right.
You're going to have to come back Pixie. Another day. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
How you feeling, Jerry?
You know, I've got to say, I think that maybe some of the stuff that we think that we do that adds such value really isn't of value to anybody but us. But on the flip side, though, doing those things, like for me, it's I want to talk to somebody about why they've decided or how they've decided to take the job that they accepted the last three or four times. I want to know, did you interview at four or five places, or was this the first place that you heard about? Those things tell me how to manage and how to place that guy or gal.
You're mitigating your risk, is what you're doing. You're mitigating your risk. And it's one of the questions that we didn't ask and we should have asked is, you know, what is, you know, what's the guarantee and what's the fall-off rate?
I agree. I want to know that. The fall-off rate
is about the same as probably anybody else's. I mean, once people start a job, it doesn't matter how they got there. Really? I mean, let's face it. People don't fall off. They at least try a job out for a year. I don't think that's really a – do you see that much, Rebecca, as a problem with some companies where people are starting jobs and then 2 months later leaving?
When you're doing high volume like he's doing, I was doing high volume, you would definitely have huge turnover. And I know the automotive industry here has huge turnover. Like, that's just how it works, right?
I think you would have more no starts than an actual fall off. See, I can see if you're placing somebody that you really don't really know, that you really haven't built any rapport with, so that person isn't going to feel inclined to say, Rebecca, I don't know what to do. This other recruiter called me about this job. I didn't think I was going to get an offer, but they did offer me the job. It's a lot closer. You're not going to hear any of that. You're going to hear, I'm taking another job.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not getting that whole inside scoop and possibly heading something off at the pass. You're not going to be able to say, hey, you know, we talked about all this stuff, and regardless of it being a few minutes closer to your house, didn't you want to work with the latest CAD software? Or didn't you want to do X, Y, or Z? So you're not having that you can only have this conversation because you know each other conversation. So yes. I think the problem would be more on the front end than it is a fall off and a guarantee thing, but what would I know?
If nothing else, it's worth a try. I mean, you know, see how it works, right?
Maybe we really don't need to spend an hour on the phone with these people. Maybe we don't. But I think my customers expect that I did.
Yeah.
Because I have my customers say, hey, what do you think about this guy? And if I've never really actually talked to him, I'm going to sound pretty bad if I'm just going to read his resume to him. Hey, tell me about this guy. Well, he started off with a bachelor's degree in 1984. You know, you gotta. We're charging $15,000 or $25,000 here.
But he's charging the same rate.
He's charging the same.
Yeah, he's charging the same. So you got to be careful of that too. Maybe going back and saying to your customers, you know, how much of my process do you like? How much don't you like?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you audit your own process and see? I know from my clients, if I didn't do that level, because our guarantees are based on production, they're not day guarantees, right? but I'm placing recruiters. That's a different animal completely.
Mm-hmm.
And animals will recruiters will jump, right? They will leave within the first 3 months.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
because
they're not doing
any sendouts.
Yeah, because
if they're hot on the market, somebody else will make a better offer, right?
Mm.
So you got to be careful.
Yeah, I don't know. Crazy. Hey, Kathy.
Yeah.
You are not charging enough money.
Why?
Right? I mean, you're charging sorcerer fees, probably. Naya
right.
is charging recruiting fees for doing the same work that you're doing.
Well, but I'm getting paid hourly with a great company that I love. So
okay, I was just saying more in general, not necessarily at the moment.
Well, it's been the past 8 months, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's making six figures. Is he making figures?
Oh, sure.
I gather, then, you know.
I'm just saying, hey. Maybe you are a full placement recruiter, and you need to be making $250 a year.
Well, I used to do the full placement, but I'm not doing that anymore. But I don't want to work, you know, 100 hours a week either right now. But
doesn't sound like you have to. Call 100 people and see if somebody wants a new job, and the one that does, you send the resume to your customer.
Yeah, I couldn't.
A month
yeah.
later, the customer says, "Hey, Kathy, we hired that guy. Send me an invoice."
I know. I couldn't do it. It's like, you know, the old adage, throwing it against the wall and hoping it sticks.
Yeah.
You know, he qualifies the client, but really doesn't qualify the candidate that much. They just go off of old job boards and pluck a resume. I just think it's a little, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm just not.
And I like Nahez as a person. He's a good dude. He's cool.
I didn't know him. Yeah, I didn't know
him.
Yeah,
he's cool. He's a good dude. But I'm just, you know, maybe some of what we think that we're supposed to be doing for our clients, maybe it's just hype. Maybe our customers don't care. They're going to do their own thing with this person. And either they're going to take the job or they don't, or they're going to get an offer or they won't. I'm just saying, I might be able to cut my 7-hour day down to about 4.
You wouldn't work like that.
That's what I'm saying.
You absolutely.
Christ, at that point, you just hire a sorcerer and a kid off
yeah.
the street to source and
yeah.
put people in.
And
just
give them the email address of my
people?
Customer.
I'm
yeah.
done. Yeah.
I'll call accounts payable every once in a while and see if they owe me any money.
Yeah.
Check the mailbox. Yeah. Hey, is anybody else on the phone that would like to talk to us about the show? Anybody?
Oh, sure. It's Fleek.
Fleek!
How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's good.
Doing great.
So here would be my comment. Is somebody called the candidate's widgets in his process. And
me.
What I would argue is that he's making the recruiter the widget as well.
Yeah,
And that makes him very replaceable. So I think that's the risk in what he's doing is, sure, he's made it efficient. Sure, he's set a very low bar for expectations with his clients, but that makes him instantly replaceable by a better widget.
Because
But his competitors aren't replacing him. Like the competitors, his current competitors are not stopping and looking at what he's doing and looking to replace
him. Well, he doesn't believe that his competitors are even doing what he's doing. He believes that he's doing a better service than his competitors, I think, right?
Well,
he's a wide open market.
He might argue he's doing it faster or more efficiently or heavier volume would be the argument. It'd be awfully tough to say he'd be doing it with better quality. I guess I'm not sure he would have better, you know, better end results in terms of numbers. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So if he's not... See, I don't think it sounds to me like he's adding a lot of value add that a veteran recruiter would. And I think a veteran recruiter is going to, at least I, for my customers, I spot a candidate who's going to just waste our time. Or I help, like one of my customers said, yeah, I heard from Larry. And it was obviously a fake excuse on why he couldn't make it to the interview, so they're going to reschedule it. well, now they hadn't heard from him for 2 days. And I'm like, yeah, neither have I. Let's end this. And they're like, no, he'll get back with us. I know that the dude's never going to show. So I've emphatically said, I'm sorry. Seriously, you're paying me for my expertise. We're not wasting further time with this guy. We never even did hear back from him. So they are not getting that from Nahez. They're not getting that extra thing.
But they don't need it. They don't need it. They're not asking for it.
Well, then I wonder what their turnover rate is. I wonder what the auto industry's turnover rate is.
I don't know. Crazy.
So there's lots of questions that we need follow-up for. I'd say, Jerry, first of all, it was a great show. Love the show because it's leaving us all with, lots of
give
questions.
Us a score, Rebecca.
So, 99 for Nahez. I really liked hearing what he had to say. And Animal, too, for booking him. So
okay.
Great show. And would be interested, Jerry, if you actually do go down to his office.
I am.
Yeah. When are you going?
I don't know. Anytime the roads finally clear up. I have a couple customers in Detroit, and I'm just going to stop by when I'm up there and see what's going on. He's a good dude. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's automated a lot of the crap that I have to deal with.
Yeah.
I want to know more. Kathy, what do you think of the show? Give me a score.
I agree with Rebecca. It was a really good show. I'd give it a 90 and a 90. But
mm-hmm.
I just envision, these little cubicles with these guys smoking cigarettes and, randomly dialing phones and...
got a picture of the place up there. It looks like a warehouse.
I might even take a pack of smokes in there. I don't smoke anymore, but I remember the good old days. Here's my thing with Nahez. I want to be bugged by it because he's not doing all that I tell my customers that I do and all that I actually do. On the other hand, maybe you just don't need to. Maybe your customers don't want you to go through all this crap with these people. Maybe if a guy's going to take a counteroffer, it doesn't matter how many times you talk to him about it on the front. Anyway, I don't know. I think I have to spend more time with somebody to get my sixth sense about them and whether they're a waste of time. I'm not going to find that in 2 or 3 minutes.
No.
I have phone calls, and I say, hey, could you give me a call tonight when you get home? And I leave it to see if they're going to call me. I'll send them an email to say, hey, did you have a chance to look into X, Y, or Z? And what do you think? So I'm the whole time, I'm seeing if they're plugged in. Nahez doesn't stay plugged in with his people at all.
I know.
Maybe I don't have to.
I think he's doing more volume than you are, though, Jerry. I think there's got to be one of those pieces – is off somewhere. It's you can always have two out of the three, but you can't have three out of the three.
I would love to have his activity with my metrics, with my numbers on it, because frankly, I could double his sales. I'm pretty well convinced of it. But enough about me. Fleek, what did you think about the show? Are you still there?
I sure am. I thought it was a good show. The only thing that continues to bother me is that there are stories I want to hear the end of, and we get cut off about 70% through the story because Animal gets impatient. So for that reason, I'm going to give Animal an 86, and I'm going to give Nahez a 94.
Wow. Is anybody else on the line? Anybody that hasn't spoken up?
Right here, this is Michael down here in San Antonio.
Michael, what was your last name again?
Cox?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mike underscore recruiter.
There you go.
All right. What do you think, Michael?
I liked it. I mean, he's one of those folks that is scheduled that we actually do, if not agree with what he's doing, we certainly learn about something different that's happening out there.
There you go.
And that's nice and refreshing. Sometimes, a couple weeks ago we had somebody on that was doing a lot of what everybody already knows to do, and she wasn't being very successful in what she was doing anyway, so it really didn't sound like anything we could take away.
Was that the gal that does kind of the flat fee helping hands deal?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm still not, I still don't know even
I'm
what
not
convinced
with I'm not convinced about anything that she was doing, even though it didn't sound like anything new. It sounded very standard, but the part that I didn't like about that was that she said she's very selective and she doesn't have any clients that she's working on right now, which is a horrible combination.
That's right.
Yeah.
With this guy, Nahez, you know, I heard him, he was on some time ago, and it was very interesting to hear that he doesn't do a lot of the crap that most do, and yet he's still getting to that placement pretty damn quick.
Now, as I recall, are you like an internal corporate guy? Or?
Yeah, I'm a corporate recruiter.
So if you're using an agency, and you're going to pay $20,000 or whatever, are you expecting that behind the scenes far more is happening than what Nahez just described, though? Aren't you picturing full-blown, you know, discussions, after-hours phone calls, and checking more than just a couple minutes, hey, do you want a new job? What's your salary? Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you guys don't care.
Yeah. Well, the fact is that we're going to go through that anyway. It's not like Nahez is bringing me somebody and I'm just thinking, oh, it's from Nahez, I'm going to hire this guy.
Okay.
Whoever it is still going to get put through the ringer internally anyway. So we're going to learn probably a lot of the stuff that I used to do when I was third party and did spend a lot of time on. And so, you know, you're kind of replicating, you're burning calories that we're going to burn anyway.
You may have questions for him, like, you know, I see a gap in his employment here. What was he doing during that time?
Absolutely. And I may ask Nahez, and I may ask the guy directly.
You know, are you going to bring him into your office and waste your time on an interview if there's a big gap, let's say, 2 years?
No, but even if he brought – so if he did fill in all the – you know, if he answered – Nahez answered all the questions for me, I'm still going to have a screening call with this guy before I'm going to waste time for anybody else in the company. So, yes, it would help to have all of that background information, but I'm still going to find it out anyway. So maybe Nahez has some sort of a talk track that he's trying to convince me of, hey, no, I don't have all that information, but I've got this guy for you, and I've got him ready. He needs to talk to her. You guys need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he's shoveling people in the door, and he's making placements. If he is, then it sounds like, you know, you may get down to that four-hour work week that everybody wants.
I'm working on it, man, I tell you.
But
give us some scores then between 1 and 0 and 100 for the guest and the host.
All right, for Nahez, I've been very interested in he has certainly been a guest that has continued to deliver at least on the level of controversy and providing a different way of doing things.
Yep.
So I'll give him a 95 because, you know, I continue to be very interested in the process that he's put in place. And
sure.
It's very bare bones. And you know, especially when you're doing, you know, corporate recruiting, you're just numb because of all the crap that you have to deal with.
I know.
And it's freaking annoying to have to, you know, I'm having meetings to discuss our, you know, interview process. And I'm thinking, you know, that's an absolute waste of time. Let me get back on the phones and find these people who are good candidates.
Yeah.
So I like the bare bones things that he's doing. Yeah, absolutely. He's opening himself up for attack, and there's lots to discuss, but it sounds like he's put some pretty good thought into this process. For Animal, I have to agree with the gentleman that was speaking earlier. He does cut off a lot of these. As soon as the dude's starting to make a really good, valid point, it's you get cut off. He certainly
he
has
a bit
history of doing that. And it's kind of like, well, you know, you've been stumping him, and now that he's got a good answer that he's putting together, you're cutting him off. That's a little bit annoying because, yeah, I do want to hear the end of some of these stories.
Yeah.
But still, he, you know, his guest selection for today was far superior to many that we've seen in the past. So on that alone, I'll give him a 90.
All right.
Hey,
can anybody
don't ask me how I found this person, but he's a professional thoroughbred jockey. Anybody needs that?
No comment.
And also his buddy who does horseshoeing services. I swear to God, I don't know how I came across these people.
Call me.
Kathy, you're out in California. Are you in San Diego by any chance?
I am. I'm in Coronado.
Okay. Any chance that you got 5 minutes for me afterwards?
I sure do.
Okay, great.
Do you have my number or?
No, can you send me a message? That'd be great.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
There it is. Industry and commerce right there taking place. Love it. Anybody else on the call that wants to offer some thoughts? Sound like somebody just took us off speakerphone. Anybody? Nobody? Well, there you have it. There you have it. Okay, guys, I have a very busy afternoon because I like to talk to people for hours and hours and hours. And you can't just blow through that, you know? I mean, you got to really take your time. Thanks for calling in, everybody. Hope you have a great week.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. And you.
Thank you, Steven. It was great.